October the 6th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Miraj Speaks, Blog Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, I want to take a moment to say to my brother, Raymond McGregor Shabazz, for his kind words, acknowledging Ilahi and Salome Bey for the work that we've done in the Nation of Islam, March 25 in Newark, New Jersey. His father, Minister James Shabazz, better known as the Son of Thunder, and his entire family for their great work and in this city of Newark, New Jersey. May Allah bless his entire family with a high station in paradise for his supreme sacrifice. Fire means knowledge of the world. Fire means a body of knowledge that is of the world. Man likes to look at it and he be near to it because it gives him warmth. They use it to cook their food and to do things for themselves. They use it to light their world so they can see. We don't call electric bulbs fire, but they are fire too. If you don't believe it, go and put your hand on one of them, and you will see hot it is also fire. So the light of the world is also fire. The scientists have built their bodies of knowledge. They say that their knowledge is the light of the world and had it before this Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, came on the scene. They ask, how are they going to submit to a religious man? They say that he preaches well and he's right. He might be sincere, but he doesn't have that much sense. We are scientists. God says that nevertheless, he knows something that you don't know. I know that you know not. Adam, tell them their names. After he had made his man and breathed his mind into his head, he told him to tell them, the proud, rebellious scientists, their names. That means to identify him so he can see himself. Since God's man has God's wisdom, he can now direct it to the rebellious scientists and tell how he came into being and tell him what he has done to the world. God says to shine this light into his light, put out the scientist's light with that bright light of the divine and destroy him with light. The Quran, Surah 16, Ayat 3, Allah created earth for just in. No matter what man does to make the world not just, but Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has already made the creation so that the creation itself is going to force man to come closer and closer to justice until there is a just world, a world of justice, of right doings on the part of the rulers or government, etc., mainly referring to government, people with power, not the ordinary person. The ordinary person, the common person, is not responsible for the world not being just. It is the obligation of those who are in power to make the world right. The only thing we do is complain and put our pressures on them, and in many places get killed for doing it. Or we are blessed to have a system of justice like the United States, this democratic system, and we carry our problems to the system, the judge, etc. Sometimes you don't have to carry it any further than our alderman. Sometimes the preacher is enough. Just tell the preacher. The preacher works it out, find a way to solve problems. So what this is saying is from Quran, really, justice has been put into God's creation. Justice is in the earth, in the sky, in the way the solar system works. Everything works for justice, and justice is in our nature. And when we go against it, we are just going against our own good nature. Justice is in everything, and God's justice is working. If it wasn't for man being created to utilize or make good use of creation, what in the ground and what is in the sky and everywhere, justice wouldn't come this fast. Justice would be very slow coming. But because God has made the world the way it is and made our brains and our hearts the way they are, justice comes fast, and justice is going to keep coming. The bigger the world gets and the more man utilizes the forces of nature and created things that are in the earth and the sky, the fast justice will come. Justice is promised by the material dominance. The Quran, Surah 16, Ayah 3, heaven, earth, created for justice. So just as God says in our holy book that he created this world, this big material universe, to promote justice. So we believe that the natural phenomenon, that the nature of the material dominates, is promoting justice. And the more man engages the material world to bring out its sciences to utilize the benefit of God's creation for his own society, the more justice is going to be in demand. If you study history, you will see justice is more in demand now than ever before, because man has progressed. With the material world, he has made great progress using the material world, the material things that God made. So there is no peace until there is justice. We believe that God gave us a picture of this great universe, and he says, its beginning was not in quiet, but in noise, confusion, explosions, and chorus. And this is one of the names for the universe. It says the universe was in violent commotion. In one of the translations of Quran, it says, it was a disturbed smoke, as another description. God caused order to come into that chorus. When order came into that chorus and everything received its attention, bodies were given their freedom to have their own orbit and to have their own place in the beautiful picture of the universe. Everything got its respect and was given its freedom to be in this whole picture and to have its existence and its function in the whole picture. Then we had order. Then the heavens was at peace. God gave us that to show us what must happen on earth. When we can respect our sister nations as we respect ourselves, when we can give them the same freedom to have their own orbit and not impose our ideology on them, etc., And that as long as they support the order and the peace for all mankind, we should tolerate their differences, even their differences in ideology. That's what I believe justice is. Justice is having that kind of thought, that kind of mind, and accepting that everything God created for dignity can have its dignity and its life. I would not want to see the United States impose its ideology on others. The Quran, Surah 17, Ayat 1, Prophet Night Journey. Bukhari, page 1, 345. Page 4, 429. Page 5, 227, Prophet 7, Heaven. St. John 3:13, no one was in heaven but he that came down from heaven. God blesses you to struggle for knowledge of him with understanding. He will lift your moral body up from low-mindedness, mental bodies up from darkness, ignorance, spiritual bodies up from filth, corruption, pettiness, and self-righteousness. God lifts any body up and separates you from the low world that you were once a helpless victim in. Going up is the vertical line of the cross. The stake of the cross is going from Mecca to Jerusalem. Is this horizontal line? It is the balance. Balance or agreement has to be established between Prophet Muhammad and Jesus. Prophet Abraham's sacrifice wasn't mental, material money. It was charity of knowledge. He destroyed secrecy in religion and gave the knowledge free everybody. Prophet Muhammad carried that principle higher. He made tax and obligation on the society for the sake of the poor and the needy. Prophet Muhammad was lifted above that. The cross is a sign of a person's knowledge, the capacity of his knowledge. Revelation is going up. It's a graduation in knowledge that takes us up. Then serve to society goes out. First you get the knowledge. It brings you up to different levels that enable you to serve the society. This bar here is serving the society. The message is what serves the society. The line here, vertical, means knowledge. As the knowledge goes up, the level of the message goes up. The level of understanding that's given to the society is raised. Vakra Freinhoff represents natural inspiration that comes to us through nature. Natural motivation without intelligence, blind natural motivation, natural urge. Forces refer to motivation. Urge that arises from nature, not from intelligent observation. So a horse of different colors shows us how the natural is broken down or corrupted. The Quran, Surah 17, Ayat 1, Night Journey. Bukhari, Volume 1, Page 345, Prophet 7 Heavens. Represent human growth pattern that is vertical and horizontal. Vertical, man must move upward morally, must find the relationship between himself and something else that enables him to rise his level, must have perpendicular growth to grow in value. Horizontal, the person has to accept Hajj. When he do this, he will have one human economics that has a currency called zakat or charity. It establishes for us the economic order that gives us heaven or a society, complete world that lifts lifted above the ground, world, and human principles, yet begin from the individual connecting himself, creator, and moving horizontally and vertically. This is what the cross meant. It was a sign of the universe, life, and creation. Jesus did not give man of understanding, but parable faith. The Quran Surah 17, Ayat 1, Prophet Ascension. The Quran Surah 65, Ayat 12, the 87, and for you similar. Matthew 10:38, Jesus takes his cross. John 16:7, Jesus expedient, I go away. John 16:17, Jesus, you not see me, yet again see me. John 16:25, Jesus, I speak to you in Proverbs. Mark 13:11, Jesus said, think not what you will say. So we need check, and God has given us a check. It is a check in our own nature, and Jesus said, if you take up my cross, he spoke of a cross that he called his cross, the cross of righteousness, the cross of moral obedience. That is what checked your behavior, righteousness. We think of Jesus as a man of understanding, but remember, dear people, when Jesus was preaching and living, he was not a symbol of understanding. He told his ministers, who he selected, he said, think not of what you will say at the destination, preparing a lecture. Prepare no speech, trust God. And when you get there, God will put the words in your mouth by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Is that not the Christian teachings? So Jesus did not represent understanding. If he represented understanding, he represented moral understanding. For the moral understanding to obey your superior, who is God, far as rational understanding, as far as cultural understanding, Jesus did not represent that. No, he said, I speak to you in Proverbs. But the sad one will come, but he said, one will come after me who will lead you into all truth. And he said, I is a must, I go away, he said. But nevertheless, he will send you one. The Father will send you one, another comforter. Isn't that what he said? He said, I will go away and you will see me no more. He said, and again, you shall see me. How shall you see me? You shall see me through the eyes of the coming on when he comes. He shall reveal all things, even me. So this is double talk, isn't it? But it is true if you understand. He said, I go away, you see me no more. And then again, you shall see me. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that I pass away. I go the way of the prophets. But God is going to send another one because I represent a stage and a process and is expedient that the stage goes away so that the next stage can come unto you or come to you. And when the next stage comes to you, then you will see me. So this is scripture. This is the Bible, the Old Testament. And there are many explanations for that on different levels. But let us understand it on the moral level because that is the first level, the most important of them all. If you are morally right and you hold unto your moral integrity, God will eventually bring understanding to your mind. But if you give up the moral integrity, don't expect any rational understanding. These are types signed in every man and woman. So this is what is required in the religion of God. You can't understand his religion with an immoral mind. You have to understand his religion with a morally right mind and nature. And Jesus came to quicken that life, that moral life in the people by any being to people that to the moral responsibility. He said, if you hold on to that, he said, I go away, but nevertheless, I'm with you always. Isn't that what he said? Why? Because he was just a man, an individual, a sign representing the type of man that is in every man and woman. The moral life, God has given it to every individual. So if you hold on to that, Jesus is with you. Not Jesus born of Mary, but Jesus that was born your Mary. So Mary was a natural woman, wasn't she? He had a mother and a father. He was a natural in every respect, but she was obedient, so obedient that she did not give herself to any sin, strictly obeyed the discipline of her religion. That is Mary. Jesus was born of that Mary. Now, I say to you, Jesus was the type of what is in all of us. Where do we have the proof from our religion? Prophet Muhammad, seven heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and above you are seven tracks, and also within you seven tracks. And Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and his ascension shows us what it is, what that is. We find that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and his ascension, he was taken to the realm of the plane of Adam. And there he was taken out from the plane of Adam to the plane of Jesus Christ. And from there, he was taken from the plane of Jesus Christ to the plane of Joseph. And from there, to the plane of Ezekiel. Some of them say he is Idris. And from there, to the plane of Aaron and the prophet. And from there, to the sixth plane, the plane of Moses, the prophet. And then up to the seventh place, the place of Ibrahim, the prophet. So this is in the ascension of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So it is seven within and seven without. So Jesus said, I in you and you in me. Isn't that what Jesus said? I know they say that, the church, that Jesus was giving them a picture of the church, that the church represents the body of Christ and all the members of the church are in his body. That is the first level of information. That is preschool knowledge. I'm not making fun of anybody. That is preschool knowledge. Seven heaven means possibility for human excellence. So if we understand that, then we see that our religion and what Jesus said is compatible. Jesus said, I in you and you in me. And our religion says Jesus represents one of the seven planes above us, but also the same seven planes are within us. It means possibility for the human excellence, seven major planes of possibility for the human excellence, and one of them is the application of all of that excellence. The Quran, Surah 18, Ayah 6, world, you grieve self to death. Would you grieve yourself to death? That's not saying that he himself as an object, because the prophet is a person too. He's not an angel, not a swoop. So as an object, he was complete too. But he could say it. He couldn't tell you. He couldn't preach it. Why? He couldn't preach it because the mind of the individual wasn't yet ready for it. Not only the mind of the individual, But Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon his mind, as an Arab wasn't ready for it. Prophet mind as a prophet was ready, but Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon his mind as an Arab was not ready. Now, I know I will shake some of minds by saying these things. Let me explain. If his mind as an Arab was ready, God would have given it to his people at that time. But God doesn't just pick men for the time. God picks men for the future. And a prophet is a man that's picked not only for the time, but for the future. Do you understand? All right. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was a prophet. He was picked not only for the time, but for the future. So his mind as an Arab mind was a part of the society. It was just the best mind in society, the innocent, true, upright mind of the society. And that mind received revelation. And he, as a prophet, as an individual, had to submit and swoon and be perplexed at times because of the revelation. Prophet's messenger was beyond ethnic mind limitation. So many times he was worried. Doesn't the Holy Quran tell you that he was worried? That shows you that the message was beyond his mind. The message was universal, a message for all times. He himself, as a moral person, as a spiritual and moral body, was complete and fit for the message. But as a worldly man, as a man who gained and got his knowledge and his mind from the society as an Arab, no. I don't know if you will understand me, but I'm just telling you some truths. Well, what about our mind? My mind is of a new time. My mind is a mind that is almost 1,400 years. God, through his natural workings, has brought the mind of the world to the position where the mind is ready now to not only be doers, prophets, acting, to form the object, but the mind is ready to come into the form and be the object, see? But he did have the knowledge, and he knew that, and these signs is knowledge for eternity, and he knew that. In time, these signs are going to be understood. That no matter that how long man exists on earth, he knows that he had pointed the way for their salvation and for their advancement, for their progress. I would not be surprised if that expression shoe fly away came out of our people who came from Islamic paths. And know that the language had that wisdom. It could have survived in time. They couldn't say it subsequently and not even know what they were saying. The soul has not lost that. Your mind lost. Your conscience lost it. But your soul didn't. So it comes up as an expression and you do not even know where it is from. I kind of believe that shoe came from them, or either wise people said it around us and we picked it up. That is a strong possibility also. So I think he was a group of people, and they were holy people, dressed in garments all white, and Moses saw them, and he was attracted to go to them, and when he went to them, his own nature told him these are special people. And I should get rid of this base that I have. So Shu is on the base. I should get rid of the spiritual base that I have from Egypt when I was in Egypt. Because obviously Moses was learned. He was in the house of Pharaoh. And he knew that the Egyptians had the god Shu. right? He had to dismiss or take off the spirit that he got in Egypt. And with the people, it was going to get another spirit. But it means that if you disposition yourself incorrectly, you cannot go up God's mountain of logic, because that was God's knowledge. That was a philosophical knowledge. That mountain was God's mountain. So you cannot ascend God's mountain of logic for the leader until you first prove yourself independent of the spirit that the world gave you. So this is what he had to do, and had such confidence in those people that he met here, the star of righteousness. He saw light that this curse caused him right away to question himself, to question what he was standing upon. We reduce their burden. The water is symbolic of the soul. It's a reservoir. Wind is symbolic of the spirit. So you know water comes against the bank and it takes some of the bank away, right? That is where the idea started. So it means that the nature, water is symbolic of the sentiment of the people, their spirituality, their soul when it is stilled and at peace. That is the nature of the soul. But when it is disturbed, it is symbolic of the trouble in the people. So Jesus Christ in the Bible, I go to what is available quick. It is in the Quran, but we are familiar with the Bible. So in the Bible, the water was being disturbed and the boat was being disturbed. And he and Jesus said the trouble is in the wind. Rebuke the wind. There's nothing wrong with the water. So the wind is affecting it. That is the spirit. So water is symbolic of the sensitive nature of man. He has a sensitive nature, and his soul is a reservoir. But like a plant, the water goes into all the branches everywhere. So his whole life is a sensitive life. But once he gets fixed up here, it can make him numb to all sensitivity, right? So we have to know what we got to eliminate darkness and mysteries. That is what you're going up for, to get away from darkness and mysteries. The mountain going up is symbolic to going to find light in a dark world. Christ, what did he say? He said, the light of this world is darkness. So we are in the dark. And when night falls and everybody is in the dark, the clouds are not up there, are a lot of light. The Arab said, as a thousand eyes. So Juba Nura, the mountain of enlightenment. So we are going ascending up the mountain that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, went up. They called it Mount Hira. That was in the old pagan time. It means mountain of a cat. I guess nothing but my cat went up then. Hidra means cat, but it also was from Greek. After Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, went up there, it is not called Mount Hira anymore. And we should never call it by that name, because that is what the enemies of Al-Islam calls it. They want to keep it like it was in pagan time. That he went up Mount Hira, but once he received guidance from God, which was light for us down here, it is called Juba Nura, the mountain of enlightenment. And that is why we went up there, to call on a higher authority, and hope that he would be enlightened and come back down and guide his people to success. His people were all people. He never thought narrow. He was always thinking of mankind or humanity, not of the particular people. So his people as a nation, this is important that we know this. He put down, he put them down as a nation. He did not have admiration for his people as Arabs, although they once had a great civilization and a great social leader at one time in their lives. So this is all part of Arab history. But their tendency was to rebel against the best leadership, just like Jews or selfishly takes for themselves what they want from the past and pride themselves in it, but not unified, not have any desire to become unified. So they existed as tribes threatening each other, claiming the rights and stuff. That was the Arab people in the time of Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him. You had to pay a toll. Actually pay the chief to cross his territory. If you want to go to Syria somewhere and come across his territory, you had to pay a toll. I believe it because you think of how it is, it costs just within the state to go from place to place. They have it set up so they can get so much money. And then look at the next state. It's doing the same thing. So this is a lot of money. Every vehicle, as population increases, their money increases. Juba, Nura, Mount Sinai are the same. Enlightenment, real mountain is the mountain in your thinking. Juba, Nura, Mountain of Enlightenment is not called Mount Sinai, but it is the same. The idea is the same, that Moses had to go up in the mountain and get the light from God and bring it down to the people. But when he got it in the form of commandments that had to be applied on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just does not give his revelation, because if he just wanted to give revelation, he could just give revelation to all of us. He could reach all of us, but he gives revelation, and then he qualifies a person applying the light when he goes back amongst his people. So the same thing happened for Moses, happened for Muhammad, peace be upon the prophets. But you know, Muhammad, prayed and the peace be upon him, first I would say encounter, because he did not know God. He was just seeking answers. He felt there was high authority to give him those answers. Just nature was moving him to do what he did. He did not read Bible or any scripture. So Muhammad the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, had one encounter on the mountain. And to my knowledge, he never had another one on the mountain. So what does that tell us? That really the mountain is not necessarily not physical mountain. The real mountain is the mountain in your thinking. He went up there one time. That was his nature, sending him way up there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if my servant ask about me, tell them I'm near. Why did you leave your people and go way up there on that mountain thinking that you were going to get close to me? So Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, did not need anything except one lesson. He knew he did not have to go up there. Sometimes he would be back down on the earth, on the ground, doing business. And all of a sudden, he had to cut off business and listen to his law. I think you get more when you are on a lower level than you do when you are almost physically high level. The Lord knows I have not climbed up any level. I used to like to climb trees. I had no desire to even climb a tree. My desire is to put my forehead and my nose on the ground and search them. Yes, it was on Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And another one was Mulana Maududi. book by Milena Muduti on the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Milena is a title. My inspiration came from a great big variety, but not that. It comes mainly from my study of scripture and mythology, not just Quran, but the Quran, Bible, and mythology, and to spiritual thinking on the search for truth or all meaning. So that is what I was searching for. So I found a book that was on the search for meaning. And I read the book, and I really liked it a lot. It kind of created around the Bible. In the beginning, there was the Word, but they did not use Bible. They just went right to the subject without making any reference to where they were coming from. Logos, that was the name of the book. And the word logos is related to logic and language. The Bible, in the beginning, there was the Word. So it was just a lot of books, but mainly mythology. I started with Asian mythology because I knew Mr. Farad was from Asia. But I also got African mythology. My mind got interested, so I just started reading mythologies, Greek mythology, of course, world mythology, but mainly Asian and Mediterranean areas, a little bit of Africa. Not too much into Africa. I went into Africa for other reasons. But when I was searching for understanding Mr. Farad's language and to understand Bible myths, I went to these areas, Asia and the Mediterranean mostly. So the Greeks, they are in the Mediterranean area. To understand the logic of ancient Egypt was very attractive. I went into that much later. It was like maybe 25 years later or more that I was attracted to go very recently in my life. In fact, in my leadership, that was attracted to go to Egypt to study Egyptian mythology. And do you know what clicked in the Bible? Mary was told, flee to Egypt with your child. That started it. I said, flee to Egypt with your child. They copied the Egyptian pharaoh's strategy for governing the masses of the people. His schemes were governing the masses of the people. That is what came to my mind almost immediately, because I remember reading in a book too, coming to Cairo, you couldn't get into it until you answered the question of the oculist. And the oculist would ask you what walks on fours, then on twos, and then on one. And if you answered correctly, man, you could come in. Three is spiritual purpose, Jesus, it's you said. It means, and by the way, you can see one, two, three. It comes up so often, so it is spiritual logic, three, but it is also purpose for your evolving, of your ascending. Abraham is all the way up in the seventh layer, seventh strategy, but three is not all the way up there. Three is where Joseph, Yusuf is, isn't it? And she, Mary, was engaged to Joseph, wasn't she? But she could not reach Joseph directly, could she? So the third represents what God has caused us to arrive at a purpose. He wants us to arrive at his spiritual purpose. What is the purpose of your soul, your spiritual body, not just your flesh? If that is all you want, then eat with the cows and other animals. But if you want the divine purpose, then it is a purpose for your own soul. And it is a spiritual destiny. It cannot be just a material destiny. And that means that you have arrived at your purpose. So you are going from mortal life to mental life. The purpose for that What is the purpose for this mortal life or mortal body? What is the purpose for this mind? We find that then you are with Joseph. God blessed Joseph to be put over the storehouse, didn't he? So he was born with a strong psyche. They put him in jail, and he told people what their dreams meant. He was so impressive, the king said, bring that man up here. That sounds like a guy I want to solve my problem. No, it just like the average follower of mine, they do not have anything important in their mind so they can witness something important. And then it will be overlooked, just like it was not important. That is the way it is. That is the Quran over and over again, isn't it? They forgot me, so I forget them. So Zikr is the natural thinking human being, the reflecting, the mind, progressing society. So when you remember, see, the mind that can reflect is the mind that accounts for several real progress for any human society. So the mind that can think, then reflect, and the natural human being in the Quran is not called by any other name except Zikr. And it means to be conscious and then reflect on what appears in your consciousness, what appears in your mind, not to ignore it, but look at it again. So you see and you look at it again. Cows chewing cuds is symbolic of the thinking who reflects over what it previously thought about. Yes. So this is chewing the cud because the cow will chew, and then after he has eaten it, he is still chewing. It is bringing it back up to chew it again for complete and thorough digestion. So this is the way it is with brain of those who are blessed to be true thinkers. They do not just have something in their mind's eye and take it for granted. There are things in their mind's eye that requires them to look into it. So they think and they think and they think again. That is exactly what it means. Isn't that going up that mountain and coming back down? Exactly. So he might have gone up to the first level. He might have climbed all day and night and did not reach anything but the first level. What he thought he reached, the third level, so he comes back down. He tries to climb it, and he has to go back up again. Wither, one raka symbolic of the conscious of for the logic. Yes, only the night Tyria as a final wither, a final standing for prayer, one by itself. I do not know if it's a lot of the believers are praying the Tahrir, even for the international Muslim world. I do not believe they understand the actual, that the last prayer of the Tahrir prayer, the last one is a single rak'ah. You actually conclude saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. For the eid, it is not for wither that you pray in the evening. It is not one of the obligatory prayers. But in the Ramadan prayer, the wither, you are supposed to conclude the two rak'ahs. And then you stand and do the single wither one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and there is going to be one blast, the trumpet, and they all will stand. So man is evolving to where God wants him. But there is going to come up time. It's going to come a time when you will not have to depend on man evolving. God is going to make things so clear and plain that one standing will be enough. One command stand will be enough. And that is the time of conclusion for the logic. The Quran Surah 21, Ayah 7 represents the inspiration that comes into the nature. First, it is a spiritual urge that eventually leads us to an encounter with rational. Jesus said, "You'll see me no more, and you'll see me again." The urge that was in Jesus did not the intellectual expression come back, and it did in Prophet Muhammad. So the original pattern on which Allah designed man needs expressions, need to reveal Jesus as an expression of something already in the original man, Adam. Then does it stop with Jesus? Every man has that in him. Adam, the original man, John the Baptist, Aaron, they are prophets. They must be in me. They are expressions of something that must be in me, my original nature. So the Quran, Surah 26, Ayah 16 to 17. World not created, sport and play. Now, Brother Imam, you see that I've discussed the Quran and I had the Quran in my hand, but I touched it from mythology. I touched it from the Bible. And if you heard me, I teach it from the teachings of Farad, not Farad Muhammad. He hasn't earned Muhammad yet. I'm talking about W.D. Farad or W.F. Farad or W.F. Muhammad, way from Muhammad, as far as Jews. That's what we is. That's what he is, as far as Jews. And the Sephardic Jews are the Orientals, the Jews who gave the world Orientalism. You know Orientalism, Oriental mythology and all of that? They, one who dig into that, they are the ones who spread it. That's right. It don't make sense. They just flood the world with a lot of symbolism. See, they love. They lie and they play and they say that they make his world for sport and play. Say he made it for just end. This is Quran. He made it for just end, not for sport and play, meaning it is unjust. So Jacobite plays with symbolic language. It is not justice for a people with exorcism to get knowledge and then start playing with the world by throwing out these symbols, all these myths. But they enjoy it. They have a laugh on the world. They can see the meaning behind it. While we are enchanted, go see the fiction movie, and we are disenchanted with it. But that's their sixth scene. That's their sixth seeing us respond to darkness while they have the light. For what is symbolic except darkness if you don't have the interpretation or the meaning? The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 7, Prophet Man, Mortal, Bukhari, page 1, 345, Prophet 7, Heaven. This tells the manipulators of man, no sciences that you can get can hold down the freedom of man. You think you killed the man, but you will see him tomorrow. The germ of the righteousness in man can't be killed. You oppose it, bury it, but eventually there it is again. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 16, is creation not for sport and play. Since you're like senses, one penny is one cent. So pitching pennies, how many of you males remember pitching pennies? That was a sign of what was coming. What is one penny called? 1 cent. And 5 pennies is 5 cents. So if you try to make cents plural, how would you pronounce it? Cents. So there, you see what is doing on, what's going on, pardon me? Do you see what's happening in that which seemed to be only play? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in our holy book to this world and its guardians who pride themselves in being in charge of the world. We were not at play when we created skies and the earth. Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 16. It was not a play game. It is a serious matter. So I know you remember shooting pool. You still do that. Do you remember we called each other cats? I remember hearing someone say something like this. Later for those cats, man. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayat 1 to 2. It is saying that when God has established everything and has set the world in nature so that you can only get off the course so far and for so long, pretty soon you are going to reach your limit and the time is going to run out on you. When that happens, it's going to be a very grievous time for you and your going to the stock. When man puts something together that he thinks is powerful, they succeed in the thinking, they're going to be comfortable ruling for a long time. Some of them think that they are going to be able to rule forever. Then all of a sudden things go wrong for the rulers, and they see the thing falling in, and it shocks them. The more it crumbles, the more the so-called ignorant people come into the understanding of just what the leaders have done. So this is a time for the rulers. It is a shocking time and grievous time. It causes them to go back into their closets, put their head in their hands, and moan and groan. We are talking about things that happen in a civilization, things that are close to your heart and your mind. They eat the meat, the heavy food, and give the masses of the people the milk, the light stuff. So when that time, they are going to in so much trouble that they are going to forget about striving to hold on to the baby mind. They are going to let them go in shock. Crop pregnant load is unformed, ignorant following. And every pregnant one will lay down her burden. Here, a one that hasn't yet managed to get a community of ignorant people to suck their blood. They are just in the process of forming a group of ignorant people to serve them to be their babies. It is still in the formation period. So when that time comes, the shock is going to be so great that it'll make them give up their place and walk away. Man drunken means leaders thinking shattered. And you will see man as drunken. What does man mean here? And most places where you find it in scripture, it means that the intellect composition of the person, the mind, it means you will see minds drunken. You will see those minds that you have been looking up to and respecting as strong minds, as drunken minds, it says, yet they will not be drunken. This means that they won't have liquors in them. It will be the effects of shock. God will have sent boulders of knowledge and truth into the house of their thinking and shatter their brain. It says, but the chastisement of Allah will be severe. babies in religion sit around praying and clapping, waiting for God to abort some miracle or some punishment that's going to physically hurt people. In our baby understanding, we want to see God get a physical whoop and physically whip old boss lady and boss man. Punishment that can be put upon wicked rulers is to break up their minds and to break up the intellectual composition that they have put together to rule ignorant people. Then expose them and let the common people come into the knowledge of their superior gain. You ask for one punishment, but God knows how you punish. But God knows how to punish, not you. Salakallahu Gadeem. Surely, Allah, before we go this evening, we want to take a moment to say to my brother, Brother Raymond McGregor Shabazz, for his kind words, acknowledging Elihu and Salam Bey for their work that we have done in the Nation of Islam, Mosque number 25, Newark, New Jersey. His father, Minister James Shabazz, better known as the Son of Thunder, and his entire family for their great work in this city of Newark, New Jersey. May Allah bless his entire family with a high station, paradise, for his supreme sacrifice. Salakallahu Gadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means that it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.